Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah, 12:02 on the fan. Mick Monagle here with you on this Friday morning. How we feeling? My goodness. I need a breath. After this crazy series, I mean, unbelievable. What we just watched with this Detroit Pistons series against the New York Knicks. I mean, unbelievable. 888-808-1019. I got you for the next 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride all the way to the warm-up show. But honestly, let's just take a second, right? What we just watched was one of, you go back to last year and the 76ers series, what we just watched, what we got to witness at the end of this game. I heard Marco there in the update, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, what we got throughout this entire series, you know, where you feel like the series is they're in major trouble after game five. It's going to be over after game one. The ins and outs of every game of this series, and this one was by far the most outrageous, with a lot of stuff that frustrates you, a lot of stuff that drives you crazy, and we'll get to all of it. But ultimately, the New York Knicks take care of business, win game six, win all three games on the road against the Pistons in this series, 116-113, and of course, the superstar. And I talked about his legacy last night. I talked about Jalen Brunson, and we know how good he's been, how great he's been in the postseason. And averaging 30 points in all of these games. He's been great last year's series against the 76ers. At times this series, like, we knew what he was. But you needed to win this series. And I don't want to talk about Boston tonight. We'll get to Boston as we get ready for a game one on Monday. Tonight is about this series, about winning this series, about how they did it, and about Jalen Brunson and the superstar that he is. And that shot that I'm kind of annoyed. I thought I'd be unique on it. I don't know how I thought that. But that short shot and how it reminded me of Jordan against Utah, creating space with the crossover, hitting that shot, that is a moment for Jalen Brunson that lives forever. Like, I know it's the first round, and depending on what happens against the Boston Celtics, the taste in our mouths of what the New York Knicks were this series might feel different. But tonight, right now, that is an incredible shot, an incredible moment, and an incredible game that was all over the freaking place. I mean, they start the game exactly how you want them to start the game. That first quarter is probably the best stretch of actual offense of ball movement, of getting open looks, and getting everyone involved, minus Carl Anthony Towns, and we'll get to him at 888-808-1019. But that first quarter, they came out with the urgency you were looking for. They're taking the crowd out of the game. They're getting good looks. Mikal Bridges is scoring. You're getting threes from OG Anunoby. Like, that was the exact... And then, of course, Brunson also, I mean, off of the worst performance he's had in the playoffs as a New York Knick, he comes in to start the game, and, you know, he's starting to hit, he hits every shot practically. I think he missed two shots in the first quarter, but he starts out on fire. They build this lead, and you feel like, okay, now I'm not saying the Pistons are going anywhere. I never expected a blowout, but I thought maybe this would be the game where they find their comfort level. This will finally be the game. They come out, they'll get their feet underneath them. They get off to a great start, and then immediately they go in. They're up 14 points after one, and they're down at the half. That second quarter was a disaster. I mean, the stagnant offense, the lackluster defense, the inability to rebound. And then, you know, they've been so bad in the third quarter. They come out, everyone's making so much of the layup lines, as Bridges told us, that maybe that was something they need to do. Clearly it worked. They have this incredible third quarter. They dominate the game. They're up 11 going into the fourth quarter. And that's really where I felt. Like, I have to admit, I didn't think the Pistons were going away again. But I fully expected the Knicks to find a way to win that basketball game, like, and to win it comfortably. I never thought that they would find a way to be down in that game. And they were atrocious. Carl Anthony Towns couldn't hit a shot. The offense went right back. I mean, you watch, like, let's be totally honest, and we're going to talk about this a lot tonight and a lot moving forward in how the offense, as much as Jalen Brunson is the best closer in the NBA, right? And I talked about that. We all know it. He's incredible at the end of these games. They were literally times. There are literally times in this game, in the fourth quarter, where Hart or Bridges or Towns or Deuce McBride are just, they get the ball at the top of the key and just wait. Just wait for Brunson to come running by so they can hand the ball off to him, and that's the offense. That was the offense for the entire fourth quarter. And it was difficult to watch. It was frustrating to watch. But you know they're doing it for the exact reason of what we saw. Because the up and down nature gets you to down 7 points off of up 11. They're up 11 going into the fourth quarter. 2.5 minutes left. They are down 7 points in this game. And honestly, I'm thinking about game seven. I think we all are. I'm thinking about game seven, especially Brunson goes in for a layup. He misses it. Then he follows that up with a missed three-pointer. It's a seven-point game with 2.5 minutes left. Carl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. Hart's in foul trouble. Neither of them have hit a damn shot. I don't trust Bridges in this moment. And all I have is this offense that's hand the ball off to Bridges and hope he can create Brunson, and hope he can create a shot. I had zero confidence in this game, down 7 points and 2.5 minutes left. And here he showed up, the hero, the guy we all look to, the superstar, the man who almost single-handedly, along with Leon Rose, and you got to give the coach credit, although I'm not thrilled with him at the moment, with Tibbs and Rose and Brunson, they have turned this team around to a team that has now got to the second round of the NBA playoffs three consecutive years. And when the game is on the line, no matter how ugly the offense is, no matter how limited the ball movement, no matter how much dribbling, no matter how many turnovers, no matter how many, you know, offensive rebounds given up, you know, if the game is anywhere in the balance, the New York Knicks have the hero. They have Captain Crunch, as Breen likes to call him. They have Captain Clutch. They have the best closer in the game, Brunson, who comes through with the floater in the end one. The incredible play under the basket. That's going to get lost because the two biggest plays, obviously, outside of the game-winning shot, right, is the end one where they challenge the foul on Schroeder, but it ends up being a foul, and then the tip-in from Bridges, who by far had the best. Tonight, this was the game where Bridges became a Knick. This is by far his best game. He scored a bunch of points in the fourth quarter the other night. I never felt he was making the impact I saw him making in this game. He hit big shots. He had big defensive possessions. He's got the, you know, he's got the breakaway dunk and slams it home. How many times have we seen him, Hart, Brunson, Cat go to the basket and get blocked throughout this entire series? How many times? We saw it later in this game. You know, Hart goes for a dunk and gets it blocked. They were constantly getting blocked at the rim, and for Bridges in that moment to put it up left-handed like that, I mean, you could tell he showed up for the moment. He hasn't a lot of this season. He's been much maligned. We've all been talking about how we long for the, you know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We long for DiVincenzo. We long for Randall. We don't trust Karl Anthony Towns, and God knows we can't trust Bridges. Tonight, he showed up, hit big shots, and gets the biggest play of this game. The biggest play of this game is not the final shot. They're tied. Brunson misses that shot. There's a good chance they're going into overtime. I don't know what happens. I think the Knicks are the more talented team. They have a very good chance to win in overtime. The biggest play of this game is the putback by Mikal Bridges after the missed shot from Brunson. That is the biggest play of this game. But Brunson has the end one. He has that. He recognizes that they're overplaying him to the right, and he tries to spin baseline to get back under the basket, and he almost loses his footing, and he finds it and somehow miraculously gets a reverse layup in that moment. From that moment on, they end this game. Think of the runs that we just experienced in this basketball. Think of the ups and downs and the up by 14, down by 2, up by 11, down by 7. The Knicks end the game on an 11-1 run after scoring 9 points in the entire fourth quarter up until that moment. They ended on an 11-0 run even Carl Anthony Towns, who we're all going to be pissed at, and we're going to do more on Carl Anthony Towns as we get through the show, but even Carl Anthony Towns had a moment where he got a steal, got to the basket, and I'll give you two distinct plays that really, and I've defended Carl Anthony Towns, and I think in this game, again in the fourth quarter, we're going to scream about him being invisible. I have less of an issue with him being invisible. When I'm watching the game and the offense is literally let Brunson work, everyone in the fourth quarter is invisible. Now, where was he the entire game? I don't know. And I'm certainly not defending him. But in the fourth quarter, if you're expecting anybody else but Brunson to not be invisible, watch the offense. Like, yeah, Bridges had the tip in. Like, other than that, the entire offense is invisible. It's 1 vs. 5 out there. I'm surprised they even guard anybody else. But two distinct plays, and we'll get into it as we get later in the show, about Carl Anthony Towns that really make me question his toughness and question whether or not he's soft. Because I've been hesitant to do so, and I think he has shown up in big times in this series. I could argue he won them one of the four games in this series. But where is he? Where is anybody, really, offensively, other than Brunson down the stretch? But that's all you need when you have the best closer in the NBA. And so many key plays, so many moments. And I'll tell you this, I don't want to focus on the Boston series because I want to enjoy this. This is worth enjoyment because we just watched one hell of an NBA playoff series. I think you could argue the last 2 years, the Knicks have played the best two series in the NBA. That last year's Philadelphia series was intense. This Pistons team, like, let's be fair. Are they the most talented? No. Is Cunningham their superstar, who's a budding superstar in the NBA, who actually had some good games? Tonight wasn't one of them. Are they less talented than the Knicks? Yes. Should the series have been easier? Probably. Were they down and missing some key guys due to injury? Absolutely. But you watch the games. How tough are the Pistons right now? Like, I honestly think, moving forward, that, yes, it should have been easier. Yes, I have major concerns about this coach, about how the offense is handled in the fourth quarter, about the lack of ability to hang on to leads. I mean, it's amazing they can come back from deficits, but I'd like to feel like an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter is somewhat safe and not an 18-point turnaround before 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So I have major concerns, but I actually feel like they're pretty damn well battle-tested. I think this Pistons team is going to end up hopefully being a positive. I wish they would have finished it off in 5. I wish we would have felt better about this offense at times and the other superstar in this team, and Carl Anthony Towns. And there's a lot of questions, and they're the defending champs, and they're probably the best team in basketball yet again this year. But before we go there, let's just take a second to recognize this Knicks team that was in the abyss for 2 decades has now given us 3 straight years of winning in the first round and a superstar, the likes of which we haven't seen at least since Patrick Ewing, and he's getting close. He's getting close to surpassing him. Now, Patrick was great. That team had more success than even this team. Eastern Conference Finals were much more prevalent during that time. NBA Finals were reached. They had more success. They were an overall better team than this team right now. But Brunson, as much as Patrick carried them at times, Brunson is putting this team on his back, sometimes at its detriment. Sometimes at the stagnation of the offense, but he's so damn good and he's so damn clutch that I don't know how, like, I think this is the plan on how to handle the end of the game, because why would you want anyone else taking the shots when this is who he is? And quite honestly, you want to talk about a lot of the stuff at the beginning of the season was Cunningham, beginning of the series. Cunningham might be the better player. Cunningham had the better year because of the injury Brunson had with his ankle for pretty much the last month and a half of the season. Cunningham's the young budding superstar. Cunningham had a chance. Now, I know he passed it to an open Beasley and the ball went through his fingers. Cunningham had a chance to take that shot. Cunningham had an opportunity at the top of the key to put his team on his back, and he chose to pass it. We know who's putting up that shot for the New York Knicks. We know who's taking that shot for this team. And right now, we know it's going in. That game was intense. That game was all over the place. This series was all over the place. It was, now that they've won it, you can look back and say it was a lot of fun. But man, oh man, was that a pressure cooker? Was that the pacing around my house was at top level during the just the crazy ebbs and flows of this game. And we'll break it all down as we get into the early morning on our 5-hour midnight ride. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to Carl Anthony Towns. We'll get to Mikal Bridges. We'll get to the individual plays in this game that led to the 116-113 victory and the 4-2 series victory in six as the Knicks end the game on 11-2 run. Brunson hits the big shot to win the game. They take all three games on the road for the first time, the second time rather, in NBA history. And we get set for a second round series against the hated defending champion Boston Celtics on Monday. But right now, it is about Brunson, the superstar. The legacy I talked about last night further cemented with one of the great shots in Knicks history. And one of the great moments, because make no mistake about it, I don't know about you, if they lose this game, if Brunson doesn't play hero down 7 with 2.5 minutes left, and they're heading back for a game 7 Saturday, I'd be terrified. I'd be absolutely terrified. Instead, we don't have to worry about that, and we move.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:24, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's go, Knicks fans. I am pumped. I'm excited and relieved. You know, you always want, like, what's the overriding feeling you have coming from this series, right? They're supposed to win it. It's supposed to be easier than this. I was pissed off after game 5. I was annoyed with how they played, right? This is still probably a little bit, I'm trying to be fair, probably a little bit more relief than it is excitement. Like, they couldn't lose this series. Like, it would have made us question everything about this team. It would have put this franchise as successful and, you know, comparatively to what it's been for the last 20 plus years. It would have just made us feel dirty about this team. We would have been really, I mean, if they lose this game, I heard Keith saying it too. Yeah, if they lose this game, Carl Anthony Towns is a major problem. And I'll get to that in a little bit. I want to get to the calls. I want to get to your calls. It's just, it's tough to really get on anybody at the end of the game when the Knicks choose to play it the way they're playing it with Brunson. And I understand why on some level, but the offense has got to get a little bit more fluid. They've got to be able to work the ball around. They've got to be able, I mean, even if you're trying to get Brunson the shot, and we all know that, it can't just be, all right, let's inbound it or let's bring it up the court. Have Josh Hart stand at the top of the court, about 5 to 6 feet behind the three-point line, and pretty much just wait until Brunson comes and picks it up. Like, that can't, and then Brunson just goes and creates. That can't be the offense. Like, they have to do better. It was good enough for this game. It got them back from a 7-point deficit with 2.5 minutes left, but it's not something I really feel. You know, I'm frustrated with the team still, so it's a little bit of relief as opposed to exuberance, but that was one hell of a series. The Pistons played their asses off, man. They didn't give an inch to the Knicks. They weren't afraid for a second. That was a really tough, hard-fought series that now that it's over, I can look back on it and say how enjoyable it was. In the moment, I wasn't enjoying it. But right now, the Knicks move on. They're getting ready to take on the Boston Celtics. We can get into what we think their chances are at a later time and date. Today is about this win. And about, you know, and last night I kind of connected sort of Brunson and Judge. And clearly Brunson has been the far better postseason player than Judge has. I mean, the guy just has been incredible. But we talk about superstars and watching great players and our expectations for those great players and how legacies. Right, for me, Judge isn't hindered as far as the greatness of him, as far as the great hitter, the talent, what we watch every day. But his legacy will forever be different if he doesn't win the championship, if he doesn't come through in those big moments. This is where legacies are built. And that shot, that moment, putting down this Pistons team and avoiding a game 7 that every one of us would have woken up with a pit in the bottom of our stomach, waiting for that game, thinking we are staring down the possibility of the worst Knick playoff loss in 30 years. Like, that's what it would have been. 25 years. So, I mean, the guy's incredible. What can you say? 40 points. He did it throughout the game. He came out on fire to start the game. He ends the game that way. He comes through with clutch shot after clutch shot. Even though he didn't pass it much in the fourth quarter, throughout the game, I thought he probably saw the court as well as he has at any point in this series. A bunch of good passes, a bunch of good passes to the cutting guys, a bunch of passes underneath the basket, including one. I don't know why it drives me nuts, but there was one pass, I think it was from Mikal Bridges, to Deuce right under the basket. And I know he caught it kind of like under the basket in like running a little bit. Stop and try to go up. He runs it out to the 3-point line. I don't know. There's little moments in the game that stand out to you, but whatever the case may be, we just watched one hell of a series and the star of the New York Knicks be what we expect our stars to be, brilliant in the biggest moments. And that shot was incredible. That sequence, the 11 to 1 run they go on at the end of the game, coming back from 7 points down with 2.5 minutes left, when all of us were waiting and getting ready and mentally preparing for a game 7. And Jalen Brunson said, not tonight. And we'll get to Carl Anthony Towns and everything else about this game. 888-808-1019. So, but I want to hear from you guys, because I want to know how you experienced it, how you felt about it, because like, do you guys feel more relieved or more excited off of this victory? Because I got to tell you, I'm, especially the way the fourth quarter was played, I'm extremely relieved. And yeah, I hate the offense. I hate the offense at the end of this game. I'm sick watching. I'm like, what are they doing? There's nothing to it. Amazing that they come through. And, you know, again, a lot's going to be made of Karl Anthony Towns because you're going to need two superstars. We talk about this a lot in the NBA. You need two superstars if you want to win a championship, at least, bare minimum, right? In the league of, you know, three superstars of the big three since, you know, the Miami Heat days. But Karl Anthony Towns in this game, and I know he's going to get a lot of flack, and I'm there with you. I'm willing to give him a lot of flack too, but here's what I'll say. One, he just wasn't hitting his shots. Like, plain and simple, he's had games early on in this series where he was making really difficult shots. You go back to game four. I mean, he hit that fadeaway that practically had to go over the rim, and nothing but net was an enormous shot. He was hitting shots going to the basket, getting absolutely mauled back when they weren't calling fouls. And the game was officiated completely different the last two games of the series. But those first four games of the series, Karl Anthony Towns was getting absolutely killed on his way to the basket trying to get the shot up, and was finding ways to hit uncomfortable shots and off-balance shots. And I'd like to yell, too, about him disappearing in the fourth quarter. Specifically, this whole game he kind of disappeared once his shots weren't falling. And he got into a little bit of foul trouble. And I'm not making excuses for him, but in the fourth quarter, who didn't disappear? Like, Mikal Bridges with the tip back? Like, you saw the offense. Do you expect Karl Anthony Towns to call for the ball? Like, I'm sorry. I get it. I get it. Like, but watch the game, the way the game was played. Look at the strategy. Like, to me, I'm not saying he shouldn't be more forceful and more present, but you can't. That's the game plan, and that comes from the coach. And yes, Brunson's great, and that's why that's the game plan. But let me ask you a question. How laughable, honestly, how laughable would it be in the fourth quarter, watching the Knicks play the way they play, to have Karl Anthony Towns standing at the elbow of the foul line, you know, with his hand up in the air? I'd laugh. I'd be like, yeah, okay. Yeah, Brunson's going to give you that ball. Sure. That's not how it works. That's just not how the Knicks played the fourth quarter in these games that they were down. It's just not how they have. That's just not how they've played it. And so I know we're going to hear a lot, oh, he disappears. Oh, I don't see him. Oh, he's soft. Oh, he's this. And there was two specific instances that I felt really played into it. But for the most part, in the fourth quarter, I don't know what you want him to do. I'll be totally honest with you. I'll ask you, tell me, what do you want Karl Anthony Towns to do at the end of these games? Like, and now we're talking about moving forward into the Boston series, and he has to be more prevalent. I completely agree. He's got to be more involved. And it's on him. I'm not dismissing him of any blame for it, but the coach has got to come up with a way to get him the ball. And let's be honest, like, you got to find a way to get a big on him, because his talent isn't necessarily at, you know, down low. He's got some skills around the rim, and he's got soft hands. In this game, he was just missing everything. Yeah, it's just one of those games. He was awful in the game. It was the biggest game of the season, and he was awful in it. I'm not making excuses. He missed every stinking shot. He was terrible in this game. He's been great at shot making earlier in the game. Earlier in the series, he was terrible today. But moving forward, when we talk about Karl Anthony Towns, how do we get him more involved? Because honestly, he's good down low, but what makes him great for his size is his ability to spread the floor and hit three-pointers. And in this game, and against this team in this series, like, they didn't put a lot of bigs on him. Like, they were able, like, the only way to get his offense going was they were so smothering defensively all over you and didn't give you any room to breathe that he couldn't get any three-point shots off. You, like, against the Celtics, we'll see, you've got to be able to play him on the perimeter. Like, I don't want him just standing off in the corner doing nothing either. But let's be honest, where's his greatest strength? His greatest strength is the ability to shoot and get to the basket. Like, he's not a Bill Russell. I'm not just going to throw him the ball. He's not Will Chamberlain. I'm not just going to throw him the ball down low and let him. He's not Shaquille O'Neal. Like, that's not his game plan. That's not his game. His game is to play a little bit on the perimeter as well as get to the rim. You've got to find a way to get him open looks. He's the most efficient three-point shooter on the team. All year long, Karl-Anthony Towns has been the most efficient three-point shooter on the team. You got to get him three-pointers. He took one today, and that's one of the two instances that really made me nervous about his feeling in the game. Because Jalen Brunson can miss 11 straight shots. He's taking the 12th with an enormous amount of confidence. There's no shaking Brunson's confidence. He's taken the big, he could be 0 for his last 15, 2 seconds left in the game. Brunson's taking the shot. He's not thinking twice about it. He's a killer. Karl-Anthony Towns allowed his inability to hit shots early in the game scare him. And that's a problem for me. And you watched it in two particular instances. One, I forget exactly when it was. It was in the fourth quarter. He's got a wide open three at the top of the corner, top of the key. Wide open three. And instead, and it was so wide open, and he gave a little bit of a ball fake that OG Anunoby went to crash the boards because it's an open look. And he ends up trying to dish it to OG Anunoby for three. OG was making the cut towards the basket, and the ball goes out of bounds. That's a shot. That's his game. That top, he took, like, what did he take? 1 3-pointer in this game, and it was the one from forever? Yeah, 0 for 1 from behind the arc in this game today. And it was from damn near half court. He had a wide open top of the top of the key look, and he chose to dish it. Like, that scares me. He's supposed to be the guy. And again, I know he's a big man, but that's his shot. That's his shot. He's the best three-point shooter on the team, most efficient. Best shooting percentage. That's your shot, man. What are you passing it up to OG Anunoby for? And then the second foul shot. Let's just be honest. Now, I know on the jump ball, he got hit on the chest and he was dealing with something. I don't know how significant that was in the moment or how significant it'll be moving forward. It doesn't seem like anything that would cost him long term or be an issue in the next series. But in the moment, he's dealing with something in his chest. You could tell it was bothering him. That second free throw, down 1 point to tie the game, to come up that small. Well, should I say short, to come up that short on that shot and so short, like, you know how you know that a guy shoots a foul shot and the moment's in his head on it? Like, he knew it was short the second it left his hand. Like, he looked timid on the free throw line. The shot was short and he crashed the boards. And to his credit, it led to a possession that led to a missed shot, but he did crash the boards. And it ended up going out of bounds on the Pistons and got the Knicks another possession. But you could tell that moment he was nervous to shoot that free throw. He was nervous to shoot the free throw, and he passed up a wide open three-pointer at the top of the key. Like, that's where I have the problem. Disappearing in the fourth quarter, let's be honest, the entire Knicks team disappeared in the fourth quarter. They all hid in the shadow of Jalen Brunson. Every one of them. Now, Mikal Bridges poked his head up just enough to tap in the biggest play of the game, and I'll give him credit for that, don't get me wrong. But offensively, the entire team, Leon Rose, the head coach, everybody on the floor hid in the shadow of Jalen Brunson while he went out and won the game. So I'm going to have, when we say he's invisible for a lot of the stretch of the game, he certainly was. He was missing shots and he was struggling. But in the fourth quarter, when the game's on the line, what do you want him to do? You want him to demand the ball? Like, look at how they played that game. Look at the strategy. Look at how nobody else wanted to hold it for a second. They came across the half-court line and then just stood there and waited for Jalen Brunson to literally run behind them and take it out of their hands. There was like three or four straight possessions where there wasn't a pass, not even to Jalen Brunson. He came and took it out of their hands and then just went and played ISO ball. Like, that's what killed them in game two. And that's what was about to kill them last night until Brunson overcompensated and just became better than the moment, better than the lack of offense, better than the inefficiency, better than the stagnant hero ISO ball. He overcame all of that and led the team to a victory, but I don't like it. I don't love it. And I certainly don't think you're going to beat the Celtics playing that way. But if we're going to scream about Karl-Anthony Towns, I have much bigger issues of him looking timid at times. I have much bigger issues with him in the first half of this game and into the third quarter of this game, or where he's been the entire game, to get a feel, to get a flow. But in the fourth quarter, I have a real tough time killing him. I have a real tough time getting on anybody. Because there is no passing, there is no calling for the ball. Honestly, if he was standing at the foul line with his hand in the air, all he's doing is getting in the way of Jalen Brunson, possibly dribbling to the basket. That's it. That's all he'd be doing. He'd be a hurdle to Jalen Brunson making a play. And that's more on the coach than Karl-Anthony Towns. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jay in Staten Island. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Chris. What's going on? How you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. The only thing I want to disagree with you on is the analogy that you gave with Judge. Mm-hmm. The difference is that, you know, basketball, when these guys have the opportunity, it becomes the alpha dog spot. When you know that your guy is the alpha dog guy and Brunson is the guy who closes the game, yeah, you're gonna defer to him no matter what. Judge doesn't have that opportunity to go up there and decide that, oh, I'm getting up at the plate at this time, you know, right, because I want to get up there.
So even more, Jalen Brunson is the direct, like, contributor to winning. He's going to have the ball in his hands. To your point, you can't guarantee Judge is up in the biggest moment of the game in the ninth inning, down a run. Jalen Brunson will have the ball in his hand 20 seconds left in the game of a tie game to send the team to the playoffs. Like, that's my point, though. My point is, or last night was, if they lose this series, it's going to fall on, he's going to start to be held accountable for their lack of success in the postseason. No matter how great he plays, he's got to win these games. He couldn't lose this series. It would be on him as much as it's on Karl-Anthony Towns, as much as it's on the coach. And to his credit, he didn't allow them to lose. And so that's why this moment lives now forever. That big shot lives forever.
Chris, I'm with you. I agree with you. But, like, my thing is that I think everybody on the team knows, Cat knows, you know, Bridges knows, that he's the closer. So they're going to defer to him no matter what. So, you know, when it comes down to closing out a game, you know, they're going to be looking for him to give the ball up to him, for him to create a play and to create a shot. You know, like, that's the difference, though, because you can see it throughout the game. You know, when it was coming down in the last 3 minutes of the game, these guys were literally just handing the ball off to him and just letting him saying, hey, you create here, you know? But that's the difference, though. They know. These guys, I mean, look, you have Cat, he's a great player. You know, Bridges is a great player. OG's a great player. They all defer to him at the end of the game.
I understand
they
that, but
know
you just,
that
we
he's going to be the guy that's going to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I jumped you. I get it, though. But let me ask you a question. Who's the best player on the Pistons? And I know that Brunson has more experience in the postseason and has done this before, just won the most clutch player in the NBA award. But who's the best player on the Pistons?
Cade.
Right. So when they're down 11 points in the fourth quarter, did you get the sense that the game was going to run through Cunningham and only Cunningham? Or did they actually have an offense? And did Beasley hit big shots? And did, you know, Durin have a big, you know, basket? Like, it didn't look like you got to have an offensive game plan. Like, you just have to. It can't just be hand the ball off to Jalen Brunson. I understand your point. I do. And thank you for the call. And that's why I'm giving Karl-Anthony Towns a bit of a break, specifically in the fourth quarter. Because I don't know. You're right. What are they going to do? What is he going to do? They're all just deferring to him. Everybody is. Everybody is.
Right. And like I said, that's my only point, because they're not seeking to get the ball. They're not trying to score. Correct. When they're getting the ball, they're trying to hand it off to Brunson and say,
correct,
hey, Jalen, do something for us.
Correct.
You know, and that's the difference. I mean, look, if somebody on the team has a different mentality, if Cat can change his mentality and say, hey, look, I'm going to be the guy that, you know, if Brunson's getting double teamed or whatever, you know, I can take over this game and get you a basket when it's needed. But nobody on the team has that mentality right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. But again, even if they did, would they be allowed to have it? Like, that's my question. And thanks for the call, Jay. Like, I don't know if, like, again, what mentality could you possibly have? Is Brunson going to give up the ball? Like, what's the, we saw a couple times where it didn't work. and he had it was off of the miss, right? It was off the miss foul shot. The ball goes out of bounds on the Pistons. Carl Anthony Towns, to his credit, as much as I'm willing to give him a little bit here, does crash the boards, fights, the ball goes out of bounds, the Knicks get the possession, and shot clock violation off of, you know, him just dribbling with his back to the basket, turns around and gets the ball knocked out of his hands. Brunson, that is. Like, there wasn't even a thought of what's the offense. The offense was Brunson's turning his back to the basket, trying to create space and put up a fadeaway. Like, that was going to be the play. It didn't matter who was open. It didn't matter what was going on. There was no cutting to the basket. There was no, let me move the ball around. There's no hit the open man. There is Jalen Brunson backing in a player who's about 4 inches taller than him in hopes he can create space with his footwork and have a turnaround fadeaway jump shot. Like, that was the play. And thankfully, he's great enough where it worked, down 7 points with 2.5 minutes left. But I don't like it. And there's got to be a way. We all know, when you say closer, we all know 20 seconds left, tied at 113, who's going to take the shot, right? That's fine. We all know that. That we know. But that it doesn't have to be the entire fourth quarter. It doesn't have to be every minute. It feels like if they are down, especially down, if they are down late in the game, they don't have an offense. They have go create, Jalen. Like, that's it. That's it. And I'm not overly pleased with it. And we could yell about Carl Anthony Towns all we want. He was brutal in this game. He missed every big shot. He did get, 15 rebounds, including 5 offensive rebounds, which led the game. Got in foul trouble, did not play well. But if you're expecting him to be right alongside Jalen Brunson and being a key cog in the offense late in the game to get them back into a game or to close out a game, I got news for you. I don't think it's in the game plan. It doesn't feel like that's part of the plan. It doesn't feel like that's what the coach wants. It doesn't feel like that's what the team wants. It doesn't feel like that's what Jalen Brunson wants. It doesn't, and to be fair to the people who call him soft, doesn't necessarily feel like that's what Carl Anthony Towns wants. There's a game plan until they need something. And once they need something, then it's Jalen Brunson, please save us. And he's great enough to do it most of the time. Hopefully that continues, but it's not the best way to go about things, in my estimation. Martin in Rockland. What's up, Martin?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. So when I called in, I heard you say that you're defending Towns. That's why I called in. But yep. Then I heard you say about his missing his free throw, which was a major thing, and the throwing the ball out of bounds when he had
no, those two possessions or those two specific moments, he looked timid and he looked afraid of the moment.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's been a problem. I mean, we had two games where he played very well in this series.
He did win them a game. You could argue he won them, you know, game four in the series. You could argue that.
Game three and game four, he played well.
Yeah.
Game three, game four, he played well. Even game five wasn't that bad, but today was extremely bad.
Yes.
I mean, he did have rebounds, but other than the rebounds, he had a very, very bad game. But what you were talking about and what this other guy was talking about, I think it's coaching problem. I don't think it's a player problem. I think it's the whole coaching system. I don't think it's Brunson's problem. I don't think Brunson wants to be the one that has to hit the ball every second, but it just, to me, it looks like the coaches only want to give him the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't think Brunson lives for these moments? I think Brunson's pretty damn pleased with having the ball and every big shot. Like, he's looking for his teammates. I'm not trying to say he's a selfish player.
He's happy having these big shots because he's good at it and he has these big shots, and that's what, you know, that's what makes him who he is. But you've seen I'm not talking about now the players, you've seen enough times where he does give the ball, he does make shots, and how many times it doesn't work out. So if your coach doesn't trust your players to go out and win these games, only if Brunson is the one throwing the shots, then Brunson is going to be the one throwing the shots. Now, I don't know if Towns is comfortable in the position of being in such a high leverage situation. He doesn't look like someone that is, and I don't know why. He's such a good player, and he should be. And Mikal Bridges is a whole different story, which I don't understand. What we gave for him and what he is nothing. I mean, for what we gave for him, it's literally... Now, the OG and Anobi could be good in these things, but the way the whole game seems to be played, I'm not talking about the last minute, I'm talking about the last 8-6 minutes from the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. everything seems to be pointed towards Brunson.
Of course.
And when we're going to play the Celtics, if we're going to continue playing like this, I'm scared. I believe they're going to blow us out 4-0.
Well, we'll see. And thank you for the call, Martin. I don't want to get too much in. I don't want to start breaking down the Celtics series just yet. I want to enjoy this. It is worthy of enjoyment. The Pistons are a really good team. They made a jump of I think it's 30 wins this year. Right? They fought hard, man. This team played above its talent level. They were physical. They were tough. They never stopped, man. They never stopped coming. They just kept attacking. Every time they were down, they kept coming back. Same as the Knicks. I think the Knicks proved that they're somewhat tough, you know, and gritty and willing to fight, and nothing's over. I mean, they're down 7 points with 2.5 minutes left, and they didn't, you know, say, hey, we'll see you in game seven. They came out and fought. And Jalen Brunson is a world-class closer and the best, you know, I mean, as far best Nick closer I've ever seen. And right now, probably the best in the NBA. So, like, when you take all that into account, like, it leads to to me, I feel better about coming out of this series than what I'm hearing from a lot of Knicks fans. Like, I know it's about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I know they've been to the second round. This is the third year running, and they made a bunch of moves, including trading, as you mentioned, Mikal Bridges for 5 first-round picks, and trading, you know, Randall and DiVincenzo for Karl Anthony Towns. I get it. And these moves were supposed to put them in a position to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. These moves are made to specifically go out and beat the Boston Celtics. That's what those moves are made for. What Leon Rose said in the offseason was, I don't believe we're good enough to beat the Boston Celtics as is. I'm going to add Bridges, and I'm going to add Karl Anthony Towns to help us get good enough to beat the Boston Celtics. So I understand it's all leading up to that. And that's how the season will eventually be judged. And in 2 weeks or whenever it is, whether they win or lose the series, that's how we're going to judge this next season. Probably not this Pistons series, but that moment from Brunson does live forever. And this series was really freaking tough. And I do think that the Knicks are now are pretty damn well battle-tested. Now, you know, the Celtics had a somewhat easy ride to the NBA Finals last year, but they're champions. But I firmly believe, you know, as talented as Orlando is, I think this Pistons team put up one hell of a fight, man. And I think the Knicks have been through it. And we'll see how they come out on the other side of this thing. I'm not telling you I think they're going to beat the Boston Celtics. I'm not even telling you, you know, that they have a excellent chance to beat the Boston Celtics. But they have a chance. Like, we could put everything else aside, right? Specifically how they played in this Detroit series, how they played against the Celtics in the regular season. Like, all of it means nothing come Monday night. Like, quite honestly, none of it means anything. It's going to be how they play Monday game one. It's going to be how they show up, how Boston shows up against the series. And we could talk about how much more talented they are, how the three-point shooting and the screens and everything else that Boston continues to throw at the Knicks without much adjustment from the head coach that has bothered them every time they've played them. Like, yeah, of course it's going to impact the series and make us have an opinion on one way or another. And you know, the inability to put away a Detroit Pistons team scares me somewhat, and the way the Knicks handle a fourth-quarter offensive game plan scares me somewhat. But this is a different series, and they might learn from what they just did and choose to attack the Celtics completely different. I don't know. We will see. But they have the best closer in the sport. They have a killer in Brunson. I do think Karl-Anthony Towns is talented, and if Bridges could ever find himself, and I'm not even expecting it necessarily, but he had one hell of a game last night. If Bridges can find himself, Karl-Anthony Towns shows up, and Brunson continues to be like this, you can't tell me they don't have a puncher's chance. I know they're massive underdogs. I know this is the defending champs, and I know that the Celtics beat the Knicks every which way. Blowouts, close games, coming back late in the game the last time they played, and that this Boston Celtics team is just flat out better than the Knicks team. But I'm not going to declare the season over 3 days before it's the series over 3 days before it starts. And I'm also going to not ignore the fact that for the third straight year, a franchise that quite honestly has been dead forever. Like I've been here for 18 years, not on the mic, obviously, but I've been at the station at WFAN for 18 years. I mean, we don't do this. Like, let's be totally honest. I started in 07. We don't do this. We do not have, we were talking about this with St. John's and the idea that they could have been in the Sweet 16 for opening day. And unfortunately that wasn't the case, but like, this is 3 years running of having Knick conversations into May that we haven't had in decades. We stopped talking about the Knicks in October for a long time. Like, let's be honest, unless it was to kill the coach, unless it was to say who the next coach is going to be, unless it was to say who's the next executive going to be, or unless if it was to kill James Dolan, we didn't have conversations past Christmas about the New York Knicks. And this is now three straight years of talking about them into May. This is May 2nd, and I'm reacting to a closeout Game 6 victory on the road. And Jalen Brunson, the new Knicks superstar, hitting an all-time shot. So I want to focus on that just for a night before we start to focus on whether or not they can beat the Boston Celtics.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.